broadcasting live from Crazy Horse 3. It's Cofield and Company.
The Brooklyn Nets want him. You got to know Jay-Z still a part of that fabric, even though he doesn't have an ownership stake, still a part of that fabric. He's from Brooklyn, you know, the whole non-Rock Nation, Live Nation, all of that stuff. So Brooklyn obviously appears attractive. Kevin, I was told just the other day, if the Warriors win, KD leaves. If they lose, he stays.
All right, inside of 2 hours until game four, my Raptors, let's go, baby. Go up 3-1. We'll talk about all the excuses revolving around the Warriors now and their fans and their media backers. That's coming up. Crazy Horse 3 on a Friday, happy hour Friday. We're watching the game here, so come on down. If you're leaving home from work, you're already done working, this is a great spot. Open bar, open bar, open bar until 6 o'clock. Happy hour food until 8. Biggest group that comes down here gets $100 in diamond dollars. Ryan McKinnell is going to sit in with us for the Big Five at 4. It's Adam Hill. It's Cofield. Jeff is down here. All right, Chrissy, let's do it.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at 4. Number 5.
So I have not embraced all of the new opportunities of convenience when it comes to shopping from home. We've had discussions before about, say, like Postmates or Grubhub. I can't just completely give up. I'm a fat load, but I will not call the McDonald's that's like right around the corner and go, deliver it, please. Like, I can literally walk.
Wait.
So hold on a second as we set up the story. My God. It's all a setup, my friend. You've done the show 500 times. There's Big Mac. He's here. I'm not down with it. This latest advance in convenience scares the freaking crap out of me. We're going to play the sound here, Big Mac. Adam, you're good with this as well. So Walmart is now offering to deliver to your home when you're not there, come in your house, and put the items somewhere in the house. This is CNBC with the report here, as there will be a lock on the door, and then in comes the Walmart employee.
Walmart employees that have been with a company for at least a year will then be able to come into your home and make the deliveries. But that delivery can actually only happen if a camera on the employee's vest is activated with a live stream, so that you, the homeowner, can actually watch the employee come into your home, make the delivery, put it into your fridge, and then leave by locking the door.
Out. That's my vote. No, thank you. You're not coming in my house. I don't care if you have a camera on. And I'll get to the most important part here in a second, but McKinnell, you're waiting with bated breath. Are you allowing Walmart into your house when you're not there to deliver items?
No. I mean, my first thought is how many ways you can circumvent those fail-safes.
Of course. Well, you just have a friend behind you. Yeah. If you're the Walmart employee, you have a friend trail behind you. You walk in, the live stream is in front of you. Your friend's taking all the stuff out from behind, and then you're like, what are you talking about? I didn't take anything. You can watch me on the camera. All I did is go to the fridge.
Right, that, or you can case it for later. You can find entrance points. You can find locks on windows. You can find a myriad of things that can help you rob them at a later date. And like 5 years from now, yeah. You don't even need to do it now if you're smart. You wait. Absolutely. No. And what does this all center around, Steve? People being lazy. And it's not like, oh, you're too busy or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's people don't want to be inconvenienced by actually getting out of their car, walking into a... I know, because I'm one of them.
Now, you guys are really lazy. You really are.
I use Amazon Prime now. Yeah.
Because, well, I don't mind that. It's dropped off outside. But, like, you guys are totally anti-store experience. This guy will call up to the store and get the curbside pickup.
No, you won't.
No, I go... They get your order in the front, and then you pick it up in the front.
You do that?
So weird.
Of course I do.
You don't like
Why
to pick
wouldn't
your...
you?
Well, I like to pick out my own fruits
you
and veggies.
You do!
What?
Stop it.
He just scoffed the fruits ones. And veggies.
No, they give me the best ones.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Of course, Adam.
I scoff because I have no... I literally, when I try to get... I have no idea what you're supposed to be getting. I have no clue. Plus, it's like, why would you buy the ones that are ripe right now? Like, you're not going to eat it until, like, tomorrow or the next day. You want something that's going to... You want pre-ripe. It's impossible.
What do you mean you don't know what to get? You don't know how to shop? What are you talking about?
When you talk about fruits and vegetables,
yes.
Like, yeah, I don't know which ones you're supposed to get. I don't know which ones are best. There's no idea.
Savage 39 over here.
You trust their expertise?
much more than mine. Well, I feel like they have a produce shopper or something that's doing it.
I love the casing points. I am so weird about people seeing the house, coming in the house, that I need a landscaper. There is a landscaper four houses away. But I am like, you're not coming into my yard on a regular basis because you can just walk over and take anything you want. That, and I'll give you the biggest point, and people are going to laugh at this, but I think there are some people out there who are going to understand it. In this CNBC video, they show the delivery person come in, and they go in the fridge. You ain't going in my fridge. No one reorganizes my fridge. There's a system, okay? Like, the SO drives me nuts, breaking the code on the system. Like, every once in a while, I'll look in the fridge, and I'm like, there's juice. There's just juice everywhere. There's too many drinks. How many waters do you need? There's an outside fridge. This is not efficient. You think I'm going to let some Walmart dope start messing around in my fridge?
They've worked there for a year, Steve.
Yeah.
They're a year-long employee. They've got tenure.
Or Adam will jump in. I don't know how to organize a refrigerator. Yeah. They're experts.
Yeah.
They are. They're refrigerator. That's what their job is. And by the way, no, I don't organize the refrigerator. You put things in the refrigerator. That's what you do. Here it is. It's in there.
And by the way, you just mentioned.
Yes, of course. And you just mentioned you have an outside fridge. Use that. Say, hey, go to the garage, put everything in the outside fridge. I'll organize it in my inside fridge later. What's the problem with that?
Here's the second part of the story, courtesy CNBC. They got me a little bit. There's one thing in this next bite from Walmart guy about this is not the only thing they're going to do. Just, you know, deliver stuff. There are possibilities beyond this if it actually works with Walmart home delivery. Fire it.
First of all, delivering general merchandise into the home without any packaging. That's another pain point for customers. Customers being able to actually leave products on their kitchen table to be returned. So when we come in, deliver the groceries, and then leave with the product. Those are two examples, but lots more things that we can do, even outside of commerce in general. But when you start thinking about health and wellness and other areas like that.
Okay, positive on the health and wellness. Old people could use this.
Yeah.
So, like, if my parents needed it, it would be kind of cool. I prefer that they're home when Walmart person is coming in, as we give the company 500 free pops. I was intrigued by, because there's one thing I hate doing, and I often don't do it, and it's part of my hoarding issue. I don't return things.
Yeah.
I buy so much stuff. Like, I bought a wire the other day from an electronics store. It was only $8. It's not what I needed. I'm like, oh, well. I will not go back. And I've done it with, like, items that are $50 and $100, where I'm like, yeah, I'll use it down the road. But I absolutely do not need it. But I'm like, I'm not going back to return. I hate going to the return counter.
I'm with all of this. I absolutely am going to do this.
You're doing this.
100%.
All right. One in three say yes. Chrissy, are you using this or not?
I absolutely would, yeah. Right.
Wow.
I don't get any produce or anything, so ever.
Fair. I also think Chrissy just remembered she's a woman, and the idea of unannounced men coming into her house and leaving things or taking things from her counter might not be the most pleasant thought.
I do forget that I'm a woman a lot, Ryan, so thank you.
I will make one suggestion based on what we talked about yesterday. Someone delivering some foot scrub would be nice.
Okay. That was cold.
It was. Well, you were talking about your Walmart feed yesterday, so
that's true.
Let's clean up those feet a little bit.
How are mine?
Oof.
Oh, no, please put them away.
Don't ever do that again.
I've trimmed them.
See,
this is,
no, we just move on.
Number four.
It's an issue we'll discuss. I can't derail the Big Five. It's an issue we'll discuss after 4:30.
That's fine. The last thing I had at the last part, if you know somebody's going to be delivering food to your place, do you have to set aside like a water for them or something? I think that would be a nice thing.
What is it, Santa? You got to give him a cookie?
Like, yeah, something like that. But, like, the guy's out delivering stuff all day. Like, he's bringing your food to you. Might you want to leave him something? Hey, please take a water. Or do you have to order that in advance? Is there an option to say, also add a water for the delivery guy for when he comes here? I'd like him to have a drink.
Chrissy, what number are we on?
Number four.
Thank you. Last night, the Aces on the road took on Atlanta. They're the Dream. They totally destroyed them. But what a gesture? I don't know. This story was just simply labeled, "You guys will hate this," from Chrissy. Brittany Sykes is a member of the Atlanta Dream. She decided to go into the crowd and give away her sneakers. Fire it.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, you're famous now.
You're our ambassador.
Come on. Right.
Thank you so much!
You're such a monster.
I'm not a monster. I didn't even say anything about it yet. That's a little girl living out her dream, pun intended, crying because this female basketball player Sykes came into the crowd and gave her sneakers. What a wonderful moment, Adam Hill.
Is it? I mean, it's fine, I guess.
Steve's eyes literally disappeared into the back of his head in between chuckles. Did you just enjoy the little girl's experience looking up to her hero, unquestionably, crying in joy?
Chrissy, why did you think we would hate this?
Because you guys, A, are like the... Well, I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to stoop to your level. But I remember when I kind of first got here, I discovered this adorable NHL reporter named Wyatt. And he was just...
Oh, that's right.
Such an adorable little...
That was a terrible interviewer. That was one of the first stories we ever did with Chrissy as part of the company. And Adam just annihilated little Wyatt, who was at the NHL All-Star
Game. He's a terrible interviewer.
He's like seven. Are you going to say, like, oh, well, this super fan cried wrong? Like, I mean, like, that's...
Like, tell him, Chrissy.
That is what? So unfair. And
what's she
going
to wear the shoes? It was ridiculous.
God, she was bawling. She was so happy. I mean, really, really happy. It brought a tear to my eye. I have a heart. Around the table here at the set at Crazy Horse 3, the best moment you ever had with an athlete when you were a kid where you were like, this is great. I love this. For you, Ryan McKinnell, it must have been the picture with Chris Webber at Chris Webber basketball camp.
Yeah, it was either that. Yeah, no, that was it. That was probably my favorite. I mean, I was a huge Fab Five fan. Either that or I met Monty Williams when he was playing for the Irish.
And when you're a kid, it makes an impression on you. Adam Hill, what was the most magical moment where, you know, you were so happy, it made an impression on you as a child when an athlete treated you nicely?
I would say the happiest I ever was when one of my friends was trying to heckle Deion Sanders. And he yelled at him, and he was trying to come up with a line, and he couldn't. And he goes, "Hey, Deion, who's faster, Michael Irvin or Alvin Harper?" And Deion stopped what he was doing in the outfield, turned around, and just stared my friend down. It's the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. He was like, "That's the best line you can come up with?"
Of course, Adam's moment has to be just complete garbage.
Of course.
Mine was a happy moment. So I'm 14. My dad used to take me to New Jersey Nets games. I loved the Twin Tower duo of Daryl Dawkins, rest in peace, and the G-Man, Mike Jaminski. Eventually, Dawkins goes bye-bye. So I'm at a game. G-Man has a nice game. I lean over. I get an autograph from Mike Jaminski. I look at it, and I'm like, seriously? I can't even read this. What is this? And he just gives me a scowl and walks away. So that was my moment. I didn't cry. We all handle things differently as a child. I don't know why the way I am now. I have no idea. I was never like this. Yeah, at 14.
Okay.
Stuck with you, clearly. Actually, that reminded me of a story. I met Tito Trinidad.
Okay. What happened there? You get all annoyed because of the Duke fandom?
No. You know what? I will call Mike, and I will see. I will ask him. I will say, you know, my host was really devastated at the quality
no,
of your signature at 14.
No, he wasn't.
So
he was mad.
Devastated is not the right word.
He went home and he cried.
I was like, bro, can you put a little effort? This is clearly a scribble. Come on, G-Man.
Well, you were 14. Maybe he thought you would appreciate the fact that he's got his little thing like going on. It's like custom.
It's what?
Yeah, it's custom.
It's like he does it for everyone.
Ryan, save your story for later. Top three.
Number three.
Busy day here at Crazy Horse 3. We got to manage the clock, my friends. All right. Time for the rules czar to speak up. Where do we start? Well, we go to the NFL. Remember that whole thing about PI being reviewable? Well, they're starting to backtrack because they're finding loopholes. Who would be the master of finding the loopholes and closing the loopholes? One Adam Hill. Please, NFL. Just hire the guy as a freelancer and we can clean this up in like 2-3 days. Instead, it's going to take forever. And you know what's going to happen. They're going to blow it, and there'll still be a loophole, and fans will bitch about it, and Adam Hill will lead that brigade, if I can say it, brigade of bitchers.
Well, what you have to do to close the loophole is enough with this. So here's the issue. No. The issue is they're going to review pass interference because of that Saints play at the end of last year. We get it. That's a good idea. However, when they came up with this, they were sitting around there saying, all right, pass interference in the last 2 minutes has to be reviewable. It's too important. The spot foul, it's too many yards. It changes games too much. We have to make sure we get it right. So we're going to review this. And somebody in the room chimed in and said, there is a problem here. What about Hail Marys? Because for so long, receivers are just tackled on Hail Marys. That's what happens. There's interference on almost every Hail Mary you see in the NFL. And somebody said, are we really going to do this? And they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Pass interference is reviewable, but not on Hail Marys.
What if it is legit pass interference, but not an egregious push?
Apparently, they just don't want it to be applied on Hail Marys. So now the problem becomes, how are we going to define a Hail Mary? What means Hail Mary? Now, I think most people would say...
That's a good
point. Most people would say...
He's the guy who thinks about stuff like this.
Yeah, most people would say, well, looking at... You know what a Hail Mary is. You throw it in the air and a bunch of people come together. Okay, how do you define that? If it's outside the 40-yard line, is it automatically a Hail Mary?
Right.
Because I promise you, there's going to be a play where somebody just throws a legitimate pass 40 yards and the defense says, no. You can't review that. That's a Hail Mary. That's a 40-yard pass at the end of the game. Is it in the last 5 seconds? Because I'll tell you what, I've seen plays where you run a normal play inside of 5 seconds. How are you going to define this? You are not going to. This is going to be a problem. I promise you, if you go with this, it is going to be a problem at some point. And everybody can say that's crazy and it's not going to be that. It's going to be an issue. And then everybody will say, oh, how could we have foreseen this coming? I'm telling you right now, you can see it coming. Do not do this. Review Hail Marys for interference. It's going to change games, sure. But how about the defense just doesn't interfere anymore? And if you do, it's going to be called. This will be a problem this year. I will promise you that.
I guarantee there's been 4 days in the bunker with Ernie Adams and Belichick working on this.
Oh, 100%.
If they can find a loophole, Ernie the Nerd and Belichick are like, let's do it. We can always beat the system.
They're pushing their rings together into some sort of weird power. Stupid.
Football nerds.
Captain Planet.
Yeah. Football nerds, activate. Top two stories.
Number two.
We've talked a lot about what KD is going to do after Kevin Durant, after this season is over. Some crazy stuff came down the last couple days. Oh, Kyrie Irving might not be going to the Knicks. Now Kevin Durant might be considering going back to the Warriors, but he still may go to the Knicks. Listen to Max Kellerman talk about what KD should do, because Max got... They tried to eviscerate him yesterday on First Take, and he fired back with this bite. We have a Max bite? Okay, I'm going to set it up differently. What's going on with Snoop and Kevin Durant?
Well, we talk a lot about how players shouldn't go to the Knicks because it's just a mess of an organization, and how, you know, Dolan just ruins everything. Some players want to go there anyway because it's the Knicks and because of the history and everything else. Snoop is apparently enlightened enough to look at the Knicks situation and say, I don't think I would play there.
To me, neither nor, because, like, it's this in limbo to me. Like, I want to go somewhere where it's stable. If I'm at my point in my career where I know what I want and who I am and what I do, I wouldn't want to go to an organization that's, you know, malfunction. That's like what LeBron is dealing with right now. That's like, why would you want to go? If you're watching what's happening in L.A., you don't want to go to an organization like that. You want to make sure that up top is together.
I mean, we say this all the time. We always point out the fact that, well, the Lakers we know are in complete limbo and nobody has any idea who's running the organization. And same thing goes with the Knicks. So Snoop sees it. I'm sure players see it and agency and everybody around the league sees it. We talk about it a lot. So I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to listen to him, but good for Snoop for following it close enough to know that that's not a situation he would want.
Top story.
Number one.
All right, where are we with the injuries? And how do we bet this game, Adam? What the hell is going on?
I mean, Klay Thompson is probably going to give it a go. It looks like, you know, said he's going to play. Not sure what percentage he's at. You know, obviously, Kevin Durant's still out. They ruled him out right after game three. Every time they play a game, like, he's out, we'll see for next game. And then as soon as the game's over, well, he's out for next game, too. Like, they rule him out, you know, days in advance. So Durant's still out. Looney, you know, still working his way back toward being able to try to give it a go at some point after being ruled out of the series. But Klay Thompson is certainly the big one. He'll be in there and giving it a go and see what he can do. I think the fact that the injury had a couple days off, they thought he could go the other day. He can play today. He's probably going to be a little bit better than he would have been in last game. I think he'll be able to shoot. I think he'll be able to contribute offensively, at least as a shooter, which is something they certainly need. Nobody could make shots around Steph Curry the other day, so he'll help offensively. The huge question is, what can he do defensively? They need him on that end of the floor. Looney not being there as a rim protector is a massive loss for them. Defensively, his absence, Klay Thompson's absence, was certainly felt in Game 3. So if he can do anything defensively to try to help them out, that'll be a big boost. And if he's anywhere close to, you know, 80-90% defensively, that's going to be a big, big factor for the Warriors. I think you have to play the Warriors in this spot. I mean, the spot really sets up well for them as long as Thompson, you know, I'd like to see if they, I'm sure they'll show him in warm-ups. I'd like to see him go through warm-ups, see at least if he's moving around well enough. But defensively is the big spot where they're going to need him.
On the way back, we're going to get McKinnell's take on what he thinks is going to happen in this series, because he tends to be a little rosier. He really enjoys this whole Warriors thing, and we'll also find out if another radio show was listening to Adam and I yesterday.
It's the Big 5 at 4, brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. It's Cofield and Company, broadcasting live from Crazy Horse 3.
We are asking Canadians to trash talk the Golden State Warriors. You ready? Trash talk!
I would not do that against anybody. Canadians don't do that.
Trash talk!
No. We are polite. We are Canadians.
I mean, they're a great team. I don't think I can trash talk them. I think they're in the finals for a reason.
Why would I trash talk them? They haven't done nothing wrong to me or my team. All I'm saying is everybody's playing right. So if they want to win, they better play better than us. That's all I can say.
Oh, they're so polite. Canadians not down with the trash talk there on Kimmel. Next game's up on Sunday. We got an NBA game tonight. We're here at Crazy Horse 3. Game 4, open bar until 6, happy hour until 8. Ryan McKinnell is sitting in with us in this 4 o'clock hour. We just finished up the Big 5 at 4. Fezzik will join us from straight out of Vegas in less than 15. So, Ryan, you get into battles with us. You get into battles online. We may get to that in a couple of minutes. Adam and I will have inane arguments at times, and I will admit I'm digging in on something that is quite ridiculous. I don't know why it annoys me, but this was Adam and I yesterday again talking about excuses versus reasons. They're not going to be 100%. So no matter what happens, whether KD comes back or Klay Thompson is there, they can always lean on, well, they weren't 100%. In the short term, most people will say the Raptors won the title, but
I don't think those are excuses. They're reasons. Like that's what happened. If you know, if you're walking to work and somebody shoots you, like, why didn't you make it to work? I mean, the guy shot me. Well, that's a good excuse, I guess. No, that's a reason why I didn't make it to work. Somebody shot me.
I don't know why it irks me, but it does. So I'm watching Colin Cowherd today over on Fox 1340 and 98.9 FM. He's got some Vegas connections, or maybe he's just smart like Adam and I'm just wrong. I thought his approach to the Warriors potentially losing because they're all beat up was very interesting this morning.
Dog ate my homework, and there are reasons. Our school bus... There's excuses. Dog ate my homework, and there are reasons. Our school bus got hit, T-boned on the way to school. We're going to be late. So I've got Klay Thompson at 70%. Kevin Durant hasn't played. Boogie at 70%. Kayvon Looney's out, and Iggy's about 80%. Folks, if they don't win this finals, injury's the reasons. Sorry if that bothers you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. He is going in very similar direction. But, yeah, I think he's right. That's just what it is. And I know, like, Dog Eat My Homework is the extreme example. It's the one people use all the time because it's from when you're a kid. Like, what you can say is, the dog ate my homework. Well, then do it again. I mean, that's always been the traditional response to that. Well, then do it again. Well, that's fine. What if the dog ate your homework as school was starting? You can't do it again. I don't know what you want somebody to do. It's gone. That's what happened. It's not an excuse for what happened. It happened. And so I think there is a huge difference between excuses and reasons. And, you know, a lot of people look at any reason as an excuse. It's not what it is. And in this case, yeah, if the Raptors win, it's because of injuries.
Here's more Colin talking about the injuries and laying the excuse out there for the Warriors when they fall to the Raptors.
But Kevin Durant missing the finals would be like Michael Jordan missing a finals, LeBron missing a finals, Larry Bird missing a finals, Olajuwon missing a finals, Karl Malone missing the finals for Utah.
Those are all awful examples. Awful. Except for maybe Bird.
Well, you're saying because they're part of a great team?
Exactly.
No, because this team is so much more loaded than every team he mentioned except the Celtics.
Right.
The Celtics had Kevin McHale. The Celtics had Bobby Parish. This team has three and four superstars, four guys who make in excess of $22 million. Now, Olajuwon's teams did have other good players. But a couple of those guys he mentioned, Karl Malone, I'm sorry, John Stockton was good, but John Stockton was a product of Karl Malone. So, all he did there was make the Durant thing as the biggest reason that they can't win. If Klay Thompson's around and close to 100%, then they're fine, but he's not 100%. And Colin wraps up here once again saying, you know what, if the Raptors win, sorry, but there will be an asterisk.
But I've never seen a finals like this. It's not that players are getting hurt. It's their best players. It's not like Quinn Cook is hurt. Alphonso McKinney. It's Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Iggy, Boogie Cousins. If they lose, it's no shot at Toronto.
I love Colin, but... And I'm not saying that the LeBron Cavaliers lost that many players. They did lose the second-best player on a team when the drop-off to the third was massive. But I get his point. This has been an epidemic, and they've had four of the top six guys injured pretty badly.
Yeah.
And it is a reason, not an excuse. So to close out the week nicely, I will back down.
Well, I feel like also like excuses are tied to lies or half-truths a lot of the time. You're trying to work around the reality of the situation. Back what you're saying, reasons are instances as to why a cause and effect happened, right? Like... excuses seem to be a rhetorical runaround a lot of the time. You're kind of trying to dart around the truth of the issue. The truth of the issue is this is a hobbled Golden State team. I think the one thing that really stood out to me with what Colin said and that I didn't really, appreciate or it didn't ring hard on my ears, and that was him talking about Kevin Durant being the best player. Now, listen, I think Kevin Durant can be the best player on any given night. He's certainly one of the best players of his generation. But it feels like a slight to Steph Curry, who had 25 points in the first half and at one point in his career, well, finals MVP and back-to-back league MVPs. I mean, you're talking about one of the best players in the league who, as we've seen, was able to almost carry them to a victory. So, I don't know. It's just, I'll tell you this about the injuries. Normally, I don't like injuries. I don't wish for anybody to get injured. I certainly wasn't wishing for anyone to get injured on the Golden State Warriors. But I am happy on some level that happened because now we have an NBA Finals that I didn't think we were going to have. I'm interested in an NBA Finals that I didn't think I was going to be interested in. And for that, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I would like to see Toronto beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like, for their sake, for them to actually beat the Warriors and win the title. That would be very cool. And I'm like we said earlier, I'm sure 20 years from now, they won't care, and it won't matter.
Yeah.
They'll just look back and say, hey, we won the title, but they'll know that they didn't actually beat the Warriors. Although, as I said the other day, the fans have now made me absolutely want the Warriors to win with their, we solved Golden State, and everybody said Golden State was so good. Like, you're not beating Golden State. It's ridiculous.
I am going to come over the top here, though, on this Warriors team having so many injuries, but also not having backups. This is the route you chose.
Sure.
When you pay four guys in excess of $22 million, what did we say when they added Kevin Durant? Boy, oh boy, their depth is really going to be hit. They're probably only going to have seven qualified players. Well, this is part of it.
Yeah.
I'll actually flip it on you guys and say they've been lucky to not have injuries during this run, like major, major injuries. It finally all hit at one time. But this is what they bought into, was four superstars and then a really thin bench. Well, it finally happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's totally fair. That's the way that they constructed the team, and that was the option that they chose to go, and that's the risk that you take when you do it that way. That's why other teams might look at it and say it's not the right path, because you can't build depth and you can't build, talent at other positions and everything else. But, yeah, this, if you're just looking at this case head-to-head, that's not the team that they're beating. And I do wish for their sake they could actually beat them, and I wish that their fans would accept what's going on and say, wow, what a break we got here.
A city that's never enjoyed this pinnacle of NBA hoopage.
I'm not crazy.
They shouldn't be delirious.
It's not. No, you be happy, but don't start saying all these teams said we couldn't beat the Warriors. All these people said we couldn't beat the Warriors. We're beating them. No, you're not. Don't be that guy. Be happy that you're winning. Be excited that you're winning, that your team is winning. Stop trying to talk trash about the other team that you're not actually playing, that you're playing some shadow form of a team. Don't try to say, like, nobody could figure them out. We did it. Like, stop that. That's obnoxious, and it's not true.
Fezzik is right around the corner. He's going to tell us what to bet, how to bet on Game 4.
Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a three-hour open bar with $5 food.
Happy Hour's here at Crazy Horse 3. It's where we hang out, especially on a day like today. We're here every Friday. But NBA Finals, game number 4 is going down. Trying to find out how to bet this game, some strategies. Seems like the money's pouring in on the GSW side. It's up to 5, 5.5. Fezzik is our guy from pregame.com and straight out of Vegas on this Friday. What's up, Fez?
I would have showed up on location if you would have asked me to, Steve.
I know. I should have looped you in. We've done that a couple of weeks in a row with RJ. We didn't tell him where we were. But, yeah, you know, you can come on your own. If you're not doing a radio spot, it's fine. You can stop on by. Next three Fridays, we're here for sure.
I will see if my schedule allows.
Yes. You open your schedule, my friend. How have you done so far in these finals? Have you found a rhythm in trying to bet this series?
I have. Let me be fair. I found no rhythm during the regular season, but the NBA playoffs, for whatever reason, I would argue have gone largely according to form.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that? Why has that happened?
You know, I think the motivational, situational spots have really panned out. So the zigzag bettors in particular, Game 2, Golden State, absolutely has a home run effort and wins in Toronto, and then Game 3, Toronto comes back strong. And, you know, the weird thing about Game 3 to me, Steve, was what was the narrative at the end of the Philly series? Kawhi has to do it all. He has no help.
Right.
And then we see the perfect game where every starter, along with Van Vliet, plays one of their best games in the playoffs for Toronto Game 3.
So is that an easy thing to just say, all right, Game 4, now it's time for the Warriors?
Well, I think there's other reasons to like the Warriors, and Klay Thompson is critically important. As it turns out, Golden State, when Klay plays, that's all they need. The last 5 years, they win 80% of the time. Without Klay, they're 11-14. So think about that. They're a below 500 team. I know that's a smaller sample without Klay Thompson, but clearly with Durant out, the cumulative impact of having Klay out as well, I think, is very significant. And I think that Golden State, if they can get anything out of Looney, who's active tonight at center, that is a big, big plus with Boogie looking like he's not close to 100%.
Did we see any shakeup in the market when I know we expected Thompson to play, but when Looney's announced that he's actually going to try to give it a go, any shakeup in the market at all?
Yeah, so the market, we did. The Golden State was -4.5, and then we did see it go ahead and bump up to -5. So money on Golden State. I'm not so sure money wasn't going to come on Golden State regardless. Let's face it, this is a team that has responded. The last 3 years, there's only been a couple incidences where they have not been favored to win the NBA Finals that year. And I think back to that Houston series when they were down 2-3 last year. And, of course, this year when Durant went out and they were up 3-2, but Houston was a big favorite Game 6, and Golden State has stepped it up big time in those similar circumstances the last couple years.
Fezzik with us, pregame.com, and straight out of Vegas 5 days a week, national on Fox Sports Radio. What do we do with the series? So we're talking zigzag game to game, but what's your view on the series now that Golden State has dipped to just about a season low, in essence, -115. I know they were plus before that, Game 6 against Houston, but they're -115 to win the series. Where are you on the series?
I got to be honest, Steve, since I keep zigzagging back and forth like a Waffle House on each game on who I'm betting, it's tough for me to bet the series because oftentimes my opinion changes on each and every game. But if I had to bet the series, even though I like Golden State tonight, I'm going to wait, and after Golden State, which I expect them to win tonight, I would bet Toronto. I think Toronto still has some fundamental reasons they're undervalued. A big part of it, load management. Kawhi misses 22 games, Freddie misses 18 games, and Lowry misses 17 games. Those guys weren't there all year long. Gasol's only been there since February. Siakam's improved. You can make a case that the Toronto team, the underlying stats of that team, are not as good as what the team is currently.
So again, Fezzik, your official play for tonight. How are you going to handle this game?
We're going to go Golden State minus the 5 and bonus play prop bet with Boogie. You know, with Looney playing some minutes, I'm going to go Boogie Cousins under 11 points.
Okay. Before we get you out of here, I got to ask you a couple of college football questions. One, do you get involved when a place like the Golden Nugget has the games of the year up? And two, are you enough of a futures player that you'll go down to, say, CGT and start playing over-under win totals in college football?
You know, I got to be honest here. I got to give kudos to my man Brad Powers, who is the college football expert with the college knowledge. I've been making some bets, but basically I've been relying on Brad and his expertise and the like. So he tells me to go ahead and bet Baylor against West Virginia and that Baylor should be favored. And it's almost like black box. It's like, okay, Blue Horseshoe loves Baylor, and I go and bet it without having done my own work yet.
I got to ask you this one. What does Circa bring to the market? Because to me, it's a positive if you've got aggressive bookmaking and more options. Am I wrong on that one?
No, you're spot on correct. And the Circa did open with their satellite sportsbook, of course, in downtown Las Vegas at the Golden Gate. And I love the fact they dealt no vig at all for one day of the baseball season. There's high optimism around town amongst the wise guys. But the problem is, if you deal too high a limit, Steve, you're going to see guys that you've never heard of before basically coming down from the rafters, and they will beat you if you take big enough bets.
Let's close on this. This is something we talked about a lot when I was doing that Straight Outta Vegas show on Fox Sports National for the year that I did it. You guys always discuss the frustration with not being able to bet the other side. You know, you'll get a plus number. Hey, this team is 3-1 to do this. Tiger Woods is 7-1 to do this. And you said, hey, if the number lines up on the no side, on the whatever it is, you know, hey, if the minus 1,100, if there's value, I'll take the no, but I want the option of betting the other side. What do you think of Circa offering no bets on Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia on the national championship? Example, hey, Clemson to win the national championship plus 235. You can bet the no at minus 305.
I absolutely love it. It makes sense because now I can't complain, right, and say, oh, they're only giving me Clemson plus 235. I should be getting 5-1. You know, well, if you should be getting 5-1, then put your money where your mouth is and go ahead and bet Clemson won't win the national championship, right? It's a great offering.
Fez, have a good weekend. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you.
Go Warriors.
There you go. Go Raptors. I will counter you. I'm sorry if you're going to lose your bet.
I thought you bet Warriors series price.
I just want this thing to be over.
I enjoy it.
Although the wrench was thrown in the last couple of days with Stephen A. going crazy and saying Kevin Durant is contingent on winning, losing. So, like, in some ways, I might just want to give Golden State a title here to just stop this whole freaking thing, because if they win 4 or 5, it potentially means that they're not going to win 8 of 10. You know what I mean? Like, he could be around forever, and then they're never going to lose again.
It's like, stop the madness.
I can't deal with that. We got to close on this. You hear Big Mac on the show today. We're glad to have him back. We thought about it overnight. I don't know what happened yesterday. My good friend Clay Travis, an idol of mine, the king of American Value Sports Radio. And you went at him. And his listeners came back at you.
I did. You know, Steven, I don't mean to cut you off. I've had a lot of time to think about this.
I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I've had a lot of time to think about
you
this.
You have a strong minute.
In my actions.
In your Twitter war. Do not apologize.
And the things, no,
do not
the
apologize.
Things, the things that I said and the way that I acted, and I had some time to think about it, and I would. I'd like to take this time right now to apologize to absolutely freaking nobody.
Okay.
To borrow a quote from my friend Conor McGregor.
I stepped on it. I stepped on it.
No, okay. I got nothing to say. Good for you, Clay. Enjoy your millions, buddy. Glad you can look at yourself in the mirror. Glad you offered a $50,000 bounty on Sean King to prove that he's black. I'm glad that you said...
I hadn't seen that. Is that right?
Dude, people were like, give me one example of Clay Travis, whatever his name is, being a race baiter and a racist and whatever. And I was like, use Google. Listen to his show. You want me to do your homework for you? So, yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Stand strong.
Yeah.
Stand strong. I know. I'll tell you the person who's most angry about all this. Denise. Chrissy.
Oh, yes. Chrissy's mom. Stick to sports.
Your mom is livid. Going at us on Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah, she just doesn't like meanness.
I hope she doesn't
so
like
it really
Donald
bumps
Trump.
Her out
hope,
that I work
she
with
doesn't
you
like
fools.
Donald Trump, Chrissy.
Uh-oh. Everyone have a good weekend. spend Friday with us. McKinnell's getting, we're kicking him out of here. Bye. Full politics. Crazy Horse 3, Crazy Horse 3, Crazy Horse 3.